Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is Election Day across the country, but instead of talking about elections tonight on At Home with Victoria, we are going to be talking to the one and only Sam Pancake. So for all of you out there that love the web series Pretty, and you just think Sam is a terrific person, and he's an actor, and he's played numerous roles in a lot of sitcoms and movies that you have seen on television. Well, that's what we're going to be focusing on tonight. So we're not talking ballots. We're not talking red. We're not talking blue. We're not talking Democrats. We're not talking Republicans. We're spending all of our time tonight to focus on Sam Pancake. In fact, we had originally scheduled Sam on before, but something happened. But in any event, he is back now. We are very, very excited about that. I'm going to bring in my entertainment co-host, Michael Kay, on the line. Hi, Michael.
Hey, good evening. Happy voting day.
Well, happy, happy voting day to you. It was so funny because originally when we booked the show, I had completely forgot, Michael, that it was voting day. So I think this is great that we can give our listeners sort of, you know, about a 30, 35-minute break from all of the politics of the world, and they can kind of relax here and have a nice evening with Sam.
Absolutely. It'd be nice to get away from the phone calls and the commercials. The commercials this year, please. And then, of course, I was so very proud to be from the state of Delaware with Miss Christine O'Donnell running, and I just had to continually look away. But I wish everybody the best in the polls, and I'm glad you took the time out to go vote. It's very important to go ahead and do that. So I honor you for voting, and let's hope it does make a difference.
Well, you know, certainly that was one thing I was always, always taught from the time that I could remember. There were certain things in my household that you had to do. Going to college was one, and voting was another. But in any event, let's switch subjects a little bit, because I always like to get your perspective, Michael, when we have guests that you book on a show, why you bring them on, and why is it that you just simply love them and adore them. And we've pretty much had everybody on the show from the series Pretty, except for Sam. I know this is a big deal to you. Tell me what it is about Sam that you admire and why you wanted him to be on the show.
Well, Sam, actually, we need Troy Conrad, too. He's the missing link for Pretty after Sam. But Sam Pancake is brilliant. He is Michael Champagne in the award-winning, and I know our favorite web series, Pretty. But you've been watching him for years, since 1990. In fact, starting with Wings, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Will and Grace, Friends, Arrested Development, Kitchen Confidential, and most recently that new show is with William Shatner. I know I can't say it, but Crap My Dad Says. And his film career, in film, he's worked with the likes of Eva Longoria in Over Her Dead Body, Reese Witherspoon in Legally Blonde 2, and Academy Award winner Angelina Jolie in the movie Gina. But whether or not he's playing a hotel clerk, a waiter, a bartender, or a proud pageant dad, this guy is brilliantly funny, and I'm really, really happy to go ahead and have him on the show tonight. How he does it with a straight face is beyond me, but maybe we'll find that out tonight. Plus, I hear he does, this is the rumor, this is just a rumor, that he does a great impression of Blair Warner from The Facts of Life, so maybe he'll give us a sample tonight. He's a busy, busy guy, and I'm really thrilled that we have him here tonight for the half hour.
Well, so am I. Speaking of that, let's go ahead and you and I stop talking and see if we can't bring Sam into the conversation. Sam, Victoria, Michael, are you with us?
I'm with you. Can you hear me?
Can hear you.
Yes. Hello.
Here I am.
Hello. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
Well, listen, I always do the officials that we love you. Thank you so much for being here. But I think for the last 2 minutes, we basically told every single person in the world why it is that we love you. But sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, as Michael said, you are a busy person. So I thank you for taking the time to be here with us this evening. And with that said, since Michael's the entertainment co-host, he always gets to throw out the first question. Michael?
Hey, Sam. I'm so happy you're here with me finally. Finally, finally. Oh. Everything's working.
Well, yes, it's been a long road, but here we are. And thank you guys so much for being so nice about me and such good fans. And I really appreciate it, and I'm delighted. I'm delighted we finally all made it work. Hooray!
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Sam, Romney, West Virginia, born and raised. I'm guessing
yes.
Baptist boy.
Presbyterian, and then we became Methodists, which was a shocking, huge thing in the community because my father was a Presbyterian and still is an ordained Presbyterian minister. Yes, I was the preacher's kid, and I guess that would explain a lot of my hijinks and shenanigans in my life. six kids in the family, three boys, three girls, like the Brady Bunch, but we were the same parents. And Pancake is my real last name, which is usually the first question people ask. And it's an old German name that they moved to the county that I grew up in West Virginia, which was then Virginia in the 1730s. And it was Pfannkuchen, and they changed it to Pancake. And most of them are still there. I moved here, though, but a lot of them are still back there.
How did you get all the way to Hollywood, buddy?
I stuck my thumb out and lifted up my skirt, and the next thing you know, did like everyone does. I moved after college, which I went to WVU. I got a degree in theater at Western University, and then I moved to Myrtle Beach for the summer, but it ended up being Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, for 2 years, and that was definitely an extra in the movie Shag there. Which is only remarkable because it was my first experience doing a film, and it was really fun. And then I moved, oh, my God, I hate to date myself, but then, let's just say, not too long before 1990, I moved here to L.A. with $200 in my pocket. I knew one person, and I was just, I knew since the day I was born that I wanted to be an actor, and I also learned later in life that I would rather struggle and starve in the sunshine than in New York or Chicago in the weather. So that's what I did. And then within like a couple years, I moved here at the end of 87. So it's like this Halloween week was my 23rd anniversary of moving here because it was Halloween 87.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the next year I got my, with 89, I got my SAG card. Then 90, I started working a lot in commercials and TV. And I think jumping blind, and my parents letting me, which they were kind of like, okay, because they're lovely, but they also have that nice wasping, you don't care that much what you do, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, I love them to death, but that's the good side of having parents who never hug you. They don't, they look away, don't you do the creepy thing. Oh, terribly sad. No, they were very supportive, so that was good.
Vic, I hear the places to go in Romney are Doodle's Place and Stray Cat Cafe, so we need to go there. That's the rumor.
Did you hear that from Cindy?
You know what? I don't know if you've been heard about this, but I get a little anal with my research, so I found out Doodle's Place is the way to go. There's also the Brass Rail there, too, that I guess is kind of fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this guy, when he says he does the research, darling, let me tell you, Michael does some serious research. I'm afraid that if somebody ever interviews me, what he's going to find out about me. He does real serious research.
I call
I'm
it
I'm very
intel.
Impressed. Wow. I'm impressed. You're terrified. So.
Yeah, kind of spooky. Vic?
Yes.
So, Sam, I've got a little question because I am always, always interested, and I think it's just my nature as a journalist, interested in the process that one goes through. The question that Michael asked you, how did you get from West Virginia to Hollywood? Now, I know somewhere in between that process you had some hard times. Talk a little bit about, you know, some of the difficult times that you had, but you know, what was that motivation inside you that you said to yourself, okay, this is the profession that I've chosen. I'm going to keep going no matter what. And I basically ask that because anytime I talk to people like yourself who are movie stars and theaters and action stuff, you know, there's just a whole slew of kids out there that want to be where you are, that want to do exactly what you do. But I also want them to know that the flip side to that is it's a tremendous amount of hard work, and sometimes it can take a long time before you can even get a first break on any show. So talk a little bit about that for them.
Well, it's funny you should say that today because it's been, you know, I still have bad times, and I have ups and downs, and I get to do a lot of fun things, but it is hard. I don't like to be negative, but I'm pretty, like, sort of, you know, manifest your dreams and creative visualization, which I think has contributed largely to my success, but such as it is. But it is really hard. And I think that one of the reasons that I did it and jumped into it, like I said, my no one in my family was in theater or an actor. People, my mother was an artist, and so we were encouraged to be creative. And my brothers and sisters are, many of them are musicians and writers, you know, from professional to just like doing it for fun. And it was sort of my thing. And I just knew I had this, as a kid, I had such a angry, not angry, but just this committed little, just persevering, like, idea. Like, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to let anything stop me. And that was, like, a passion I was born with. And I just followed through on it. But it is really difficult. It still is difficult. The hardest times I've had, specifically in the last 10 to 15 years, because since in 96 was the year that I was fortunate enough to book enough commercials to be able to stop my day job, which was working in commercial casting, which was part of the industry, but not, you know, wasn't what I wanted to ultimately do with my life. In 96 to now, the hardest times have been when there have been strikes, where it's hard enough as it is to go day by day, book work, get a job. And the commercial strike of 2000, I just frankly like lost all my savings and just had to start going back to bar backing a little bit, which turned out to be really fun, but I hadn't worked in a bar since like 88. So, and I was already been on TV and commercials a lot, so it was a little bit of like, I felt like I was humbled, but it was actually a fantastic experience and turned out good. And then the other hard time was in the end of 07, beginning of 08. Is that when it was when we had the, I think that's the date, I'm trying to not think about when we had the writer strike, where there's no work at all. There's just like, it's worse than usual. So those have been the really hard times. And those have been the times that I've been like, and I'm not even jokingly, because I think they probably do pretty well, but like looking at Starbucks and thinking, I wonder what they make an hour. They have really good health and benefits and, you know.
A great management training category.
Yeah. And people there seem pretty happy, and I love coffee. So, I mean, the thing now that I and a lot of people in my position, which is I've made a living, and I'm so grateful, and I get to do so many fun things, but it's like I'm still renting. My car's 5 years old, and I just chose, and that's the thing that I wrestle with, is I made the decision with the Starbucks question of, like, I think I would rather keep going at this and, you know, take odd jobs if I have to than leaving it forever. I think that would be the perfect example of misery for me, and I don't know how I could bounce back from that.
Right.
But thank God and the universe that, like, things keep trickling or coming in, and then you hold out long enough, and, like, I just, you know, things like Pretty, which are so much fun, which creatively are dreams come true for me in terms of acting. And then the other thing is having, like, the William Shatner show, my dad says, as we call it, now that I've had a couple of those, and I'm supposed to have some more coming up, and that's, like, it's better money and higher visibility. It's not the creative. It's actually pretty fun comedically, but... So as long as I can have a nice balance of those two, I'm a happy young man. And by happy, I mean over 40.
What?
But you've been working with some fantastic people. 2005, 2006, Fox TV, Kitchen Confidential with Bradley Cooper, Franklin D'Angela. I mean, that's pretty good stuff.
That was amazing. That was such a great experience, and it was another huge disappointment. It just goes to show you, like, you get the pilot, and, like, that's awesome. And then the pilot goes with all these amazing actors, many of whom I was already fans of, like Nicholas Brendon, who you might know from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, who I adore, and a lot of other great people in that show, including Mr. D'Angelo and Bradley. And then, you know, it was supposed to be the next big thing. It was supposed to be the Sex and the City, but for boys, because it was Darren Star. He was the producer. And we were like, we're set. And then, you know, we shot 13, they aired 4. There was a new president, Fox, didn't like it, and he pulled the plug after 4 episodes, and we were devastated. Because even those experiences happen. That's something the kids need to know. It's, you know, the people coming up, like Victoria said, who are interested in this, is you can think it's all going to be awesome, and it's taken away the next day, and that's the life lesson for me, is learning to deal with that disappointment. I try not to think of it as rejection, because I've learned not to feel personally rejected, even though that's what it is. It's not like a comment on one's character or self-worth. It's just the way that the chips fall. And so dealing with that disappointment and getting up the next day and moving on are the lesson.
Absolutely. And also 2006 for Lifetime, Love Spring International. You know what? I love this whole series. I really did. Vic, it's about an elite matchmaking service based in Tarzana, California. But another great cast, Jane Lynch, Maestro Clark, Wendy McClendon from Reno 911, Jack Plotnick from Girls Will Be Girls, and a bunch of... did that not have the most producers I've ever seen on the credits, including like Eric McCormick from Will and Grace? But it just like seems like everybody was, and that was all improvised, was that not?
It was. There was a like forget the word, it's called scripted improv or, you know, guided improv, where they have an outline, a very specific outline of what needs to happen, and then you just shoot every which way in terms of, like, the scene and what you, the information needs to come out and making it funny. But yeah, that was something that one producer, Guy Shalem, and Jack came up with, and then they brought Wendy and I on board, and we shot this 20-minute thing for free. And at the time, there was a different person, an actress in Jane's position, a very famous actress. I won't say who it is because I know that she does not like people knowing this. Then also as a guest star, and maybe it was going to be continuing guest star, was Kathy Griffin, who's a friend of mine and Jack's, and, you know, like a working friend of ours. And we
and
shot
Sean
that.
Hayes and Alanis Morissette,
Sean,
who were also,
Yeah, well, that came later after Eric's producing company picked it up. They took it, they shopped it all around. And this is why I wasn't a part of this, because it's why I was, while I was shooting Kitchen Confidential in 05, they shopped it all around. And the nice thing about Kitchen is, like, we got canceled. I remember, it's funny, on Halloween, we found out, our last shooting was Halloween of 05. We were canceled. We knew we were done within a month. And then Love Spring, before Thanksgiving, it was that same time, 5 years ago, I knew I was going to be doing at least 6 episodes of that in the spring. So it was kind of, that helped recover from the Kitchen experience, Kitchen Confidential experience. So, but that was cool. And then they brought Jane on, and I can say this, because Jane and I have been really good friends since 93. When they got rid of the other actress, who was wonderful, she just wasn't an improviser. They got Jane to do it, and Jane said she did it because she wanted to work with me, which was made me feel amazing. And she's we're so good friends. It's really, I'm so happy for her success. And and it was so much fun. Jen Cox, who also is in Pretty, who plays my plays a character coming up on Pretty. I'm not going to spoil who she plays, but Jennifer is in Pretty also. And then Wendy, I would love for Wendy to be one day, because Wendy's one of my favorite people on this earth. And Jack Slotnick and I just did another web series in Fire Island in September about 6 wacky gay guys sharing a half share. So hopefully that'll all come together soon, too.
Vic?
That's very fun. Jack and
listen,
I could be
I,
forever. We're,
well, listen, we're I want to, we have, Sam, we have a few folks that would like to say hello to you. You are their fans, and they love, enjoy following you and all that good stuff. So we're going to bring one of them on the line to say hi. Hi, caller Victoria, Michael, and Sam, you're on the line. Tell us your name.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're live on At Home with Victoria. Tell us your name.
My name's Michael.
Michael Taylor Gray, I know that's you.
Michael Taylor Gray. I was like, who is it? Could it really be me? I'm your biggest fan,
yes.
Sam.
Thank you. Is this really Michael Taylor Gray?
Yes,
no,
it really
Sam's
is.
Mother.
it's
your mom. It's your mom. What are you doing up so late?
My mom is still working the polls in West Virginia, bless her heart. I know she's not on the phone.
I love it.
Well, Michael, listen, first of all, thank you so much for calling in. And Sam, yes, it really, 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 really is him. And so, Michael, so what do you think about this guy, Sam? Tell us from your perspective what's so cool about him.
Well, it's like, I'm just amazed at his ability to just whatever comes out of his mouth. You know what I mean? He just goes with the flow, and these golden nuggets just like fall out of his mouth. So I'm like sitting there taking notes off to the side. You know, he has taken this character and run with it, and it's allowed all the rest of us around to just kind of play with that. And I love playing with him because he'll just throw back at you whatever you throw to him. So it's a lot of fun.
Michael, when you're trying to get me because you're mad at me and throwing rocks in my face, yes, I'm going to throw them back at you. We have a very angry relationship.
But they're pretty rocks. They're pretty rocks.
Oh, you're dying, Michael. No.
What's
thank
that,
you
honey?
So much, sweet. That's so nice. That's so nice of you. Thank you. Right back at you, kiddo.
Steve has paid me enough to be on here tonight, so my pleasure.
Yeah.
He paid you in pizza?
You got that right, beer and pizza. All I need to keep me happy.
Hilarious.
So listen, guys, I want to switch the subject to Pretty. So either one of you guys can talk about, because was there like a big party in an opening of the new season? Sam, you go first, and then Michael, if you have something to say.
Oh, we didn't. There wasn't a party. We had a screening last week. What day was it? Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
Halloween is erased my memory. I had quite a weekend. Anyway, yes, it was really fun. It was at the Renberg Theater in West Hollywood, California. It's about 200 people, I think. Would you say, Michael? And it was full, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a pretty. It was about three quarters full. Yeah, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, and then we did a Q&A afterwards, and almost all of our special guest stars came, including one
Joan Van Ark showed up.
Van Ark was there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really?
That was fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was there.
Lurking in the back, lurking.
She was lurking.
Oh, God. I've got a question for Sam and Michael, actually. I'm wondering, because we had Allison Quinn on, one of your guest stars, a few weeks back and stuff, and she's hilarious. I adore her. But she explained and was commenting on the fact that she feels frightened by Steve Silverman. I'm wondering if both of you feel frightened by Steve Silverman.
Uh-oh.
Well, I think it's that shiny head.
Right now. And I have to see him tomorrow morning at 4:45.
For KTLA tomorrow. That's going to be fantastic with Allie McKay.
Yes, Allie, who's also in it, who's amazing. So I'm not
three different times tomorrow, right?
Three or four, yeah, and then again at 1:00. So that's going to be fun. It's always fun to do with her. My beautiful.
Wow. And she's a hoot. She's a hoot in season two too. You'll have fun seeing her.
She's so
Well, speaking of that, we do have quite a few folks inside the chat room that's kind of chatting it up, and some of them are talking about Pretty. So I'm glad to see that all of you have been watching it. And I tell you the truth, Sam and Michael, if you hang around Michael and me, but especially Michael, you know every single thing about Pretty. You know when every single episode is going to come on because he always plasters it all over Facebook. So anything Pretty, I can definitely tell you, Michael is definitely the man. But Sam, I've got a quick question for you because I asked this of Steve and some of the other cast members. I just want to get your view on this. And it was more of not really a question, but more your thoughts on. If you've ever seen any of the pageants on television, like the TLCs that do their pageants, and what are your thoughts about it? Because a lot of times I feel like some of those parents are kind of living through their kids, and some of the stuff that they do are a little bit inappropriate. What do you think?
Inappropriate, almost too abusive, I would say. Yeah, I grew up in West Virginia when I lived in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I worked for an agent and manager who managed. Yes, in Myrtle Beach. It was amazing. Who managed models, and many of them are beauty pageant contestants. And I remember one year I knew, and still do, Miss West Virginia 1987 and Miss South Carolina 1987. So I knew the pageant world already, and I've seen those mothers. I've seen these coaches. I wish I could tell you more about the people I work for that they keep popping up in my life. So I'm not going to say anything about it because they scare me.
Yeah.
Anyway, but they, yes, I watched all the TLC back in the 90s and when they had the documentary Painted TVs and some of the other ones, and now with A Little Miss Perfect and Taylor's and Ciara's. Yeah, I watched them, you know, with my jaw dropped, just like, you know, with my eyes turning into saucers of fear and pain. And but I think it's a lot of these people, and I grew up around these people that had these kids that they wanted to live through, and if it wasn't sports, if it wasn't hunting or something else that was popular where I grew up, it was the pageant girls and the trying to stick their daughters into pageants. And then the money that I used to understand is just so expensive, and I don't see where the money comes from, and I bet you people go into such debt. And it just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see with this current generation of children who are doing this now and what they're going to grow up and be like. So we'll just have to wait.
Interesting.
Wait and see.
You know, talking about Pretty Season 2, which, Season 2 began yesterday, hit the web series, whatever the hell it is. But
fit it up.
I know, seriously, I have a little brain fart right there. But so many new things in Pretty 2 coming up. I'm very, very excited about. Congrats, Michael Champagne, on your new baby coming up, which will be named Caviar Champagne. I really adore that. I adore Meredith Champagne, played by Kristen Vaginis. But, you know, I love Meredith. A little spooky, little off, but really enjoying her. But what else is in store for season two? Can you leak anything out without being beaten by a stick with Steve Silverman?
Steve Silverman stick. More
He's
going to
tase you.
yeah, he will. More people from my past turn up. Some surprise people from Michael Champagne's past. Also, we find that Royce Adams, MTG will back me up, this has some few new people in his life that we meet. And...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a full social life and, you know, some romance here and there.
Sure. We might say something else about Royce's background too. I'm just saying.
I saw a Royce kissing a woman.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know,
he loves everybody. He's
hamburgers eat people, and people wear shoes for hats. It's a bizarro world, I guess.
Absolutely. Sam, another question for you. You're now working on QWERTY, which is now filming and working again with Doug and John from Velvet Candy Entertainment as producers on that. What is that show about?
It's a movie. It's on IMDb. It's still shooting. It's actually in post-production. It wrapped in May. It's a romantic comedy about five women who – it's sort of 9 to 5, an updated 9 to 5 meets The Secret of My Success. It's one of these movies of you know, in the workplace, like women trying to be made, trying to make good in the workplace and go up the corporate ladder, but certain circumstances happen and they are kept down, and then like a romance happens. And I play a villain. I play a bad guy. That movie is for me remarkable in that it was my first on-screen sex scene with a lady. It's for comedic effect. Yeah, it's for comedic effect. oh boy, is it. And it's good. It's going to the American film market next month, and we'll find out what happens there. But hopefully we'll see a lot from it soon. A lot of really funny, great young cast.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah. John and Doug were instrumental in kind of arranging for me to audition. This writer is a friend of mine, and they wrote the part for me, too. So there's that. I got that job.
Very, very cool.
Yeah,
Michael. What about you, Michael Taylor? What have you? I think you told us a little bit the last time, but we've got a lot of guests inside the chat room and some new listeners tonight. So tell us a little bit about what you are also working on, if you will.
Well, I just wrapped up a stage production called Dear Harvey, that was initially commissioned as a piece to celebrate or to commemorate, I should say, the 30th anniversary of Harvey Milk's assassination. And it was a collection of interviews and articles from Harvey himself and the people in his life and those who were inspired by his work. So it was really about kind of the gay rights movement and about Harvey Milk. And it was a wonderful piece. And in light of, you know, all these recent suicides that have been in the public, in the news about all these young people, it was really wonderful to be able to sort of tell the stories of the people who have sort of, you know, led the way for us. And when, I think when you own your history, you're a lot less likely to give up hope.
Right.
And
I like that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a really moving piece to be a part of, and a timely piece as well. So that just recently wrapped up, but.
Yeah, and speaking of timely, that was one thing that I talked to Steve when he was initially on the show, that I didn't know if he planned it that way, but you know, just the whole thing in with the pageant world, which is very timely because, you know, the television shows, reality shows on TV, they do very well in the ratings. And then I thought about that when you started talking about what you just worked on. That in itself is very timely, as you talked about with all the young people committing suicide and taking their lives. And I just wanted to mention from a news perspective, that, you know, that kind of stuff, when you're, you know, doing the morning or evening newscast and you've got to read that stuff. It's like sometimes I wish I could stop and put my own, editorializing in there and start cursing and, you know, saying crazy stuff because, you know, for young people, you know, to have no hope and to kill themselves, it's just outrageous. So that, for me personally, kind of took a toll on me to have to constantly, you know, hear that, and you're reading that all the time. It was just a very, very, very difficult time. But I was happy that, you know, a lot of people, and also especially in the Hollywood community, did come out and do public service announcements and kind of denounce all of that nonsense and that mess, you know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, and we did our own little It Gets Better video, and from the cast, and we did a big capture of the audience who came to see the show one night as well. And we had one young lady came to see the show, and she said, you know, after the show, she said, I have to come out to my parents. I have to do this.
Wow.
And she did. Her right-wing, ultra-conservative Orange County Prop 8 voting parents, she came out to the very next day.
Mm.
Yeah, and so...
Quick question for both of you. What do you think of that nut job in Arizona, the school superintendent that did the posting on Facebook?
Arkansas?
Yeah.
Is it Arkansas? Sorry.
Arkansas, yeah. I saw
McCants,
the
answer. I think was his name.
He's just a kook.
He resigned, like, just recently.
Yeah, he did. The thing that I saw was Anderson Cooper, and even Dr. Phil was chiming in, like, saying, like, this guy is just awful. Because even his apology that I saw was he wasn't apologizing for his work. He was apologizing basically because he got cut.
He got caught.
He had little to no remorse. It just seemed to me, and Dr. Phil was saying this, it's like he's a sociopath. If he can't see how his words can hurt people. He also, you know, I'm not the one to go ahead and say, well, he's probably got issues of his own. He may or may not. I know plenty of perfectly heterosexual guys that I've known in my life who can be terribly homophobic. It's not because they're, like, you know, unfortunately lurking with some secret. It's just...
Mm-hmm.
Right.
People are like that out of ignorance and the way their parents were about it, and the messages they've gotten from our country and from society. You know, that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think he's one of those people, just an ignorant, you know, bumpkin.
And it's deeply
Michael
disturbing.
Gordon, what were you about to say?
I'm saying it's deeply disturbing and disappointing when, like as Sam was saying, when they apologize, they apologize if they offended somebody. They apologize, you know, for being taken the wrong way. They don't apologize for how they feel.
The thing I found fascinating was that, I'm sorry to butt in here, but the thing I found fascinating was he didn't even understand what he did was wrong. I didn't get that from the apology from Anderson Cooper, even though Anderson Cooper, I will have to get my hat off to him because the interview that I saw with him grilling him was absolutely uncomfortable. It made me squirm in my chair. It was fantastic journalism.
Well, it's about time we see that kind of journalism. I mean, where has that been?
Yeah.
But I am given a sense of hope in the way that people responded, at how quickly they responded, and with the same kind of, you know, passion, you know, in the response.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys know something that was really just disturbing to me about that entire situation that was very, very scary about it was that this was somebody who was elected to be in that position on the board. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. This guy is an elected official who, you know, whose job is to basically sit on a board and protect children, you know, to have the kids' best interests at heart, to make sure that no harm comes to them emotionally, physically, to be an advocate, so to speak, for the kids.
Yes.
But he does this. That blew me away.
Yeah.
Well, and he was willing to tell the world.
Children.
Yeah, he was willing to tell the world that he'd turn away his own children.
I know.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and like, wow.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine, too, if, in fact, you are his kids, and that is something that they have
to
deal with. They immediately know, no way do we go to Dad because he's going to abandon us and not support us for sure. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but consider his children actually going to school with the knowledge of what the father said. I mean, is that not a sense of putting your own children in danger to ridicule by not only gays, but the heteros too, saying, what is wrong with you to think that way and to speak those words?
Mm-hmm.
Use your head.
And he was getting a lot of death threats. In fact, the reason why, and it's the same interview that you guys are speaking of that I saw on Anderson 360. He said the reason why he didn't immediately come out and defend himself was because he was literally getting death threats for him and his family. So they literally had to pack up and move to some type of hotel or something, or stay at a friend's place because they were literally in fear of their lives. And Michael, something that I want to say, then we can move on to another subject, and you're completely about it. I was very happy to see the very quick and swift response that the American community came out and denounced him saying that, because pretty much I felt that everybody across the board was kind of on the same accord when it came to that issue. So,
Yeah, that's true. Thank God for that.
Thank God. All right.
Well, listen,
switching topic.
We've got 9 minutes left, so we don't want to end on that note. So, Michael, you got some more prettier trivia stuff for us?
Well, what I have is a little bit of fun. Sam and I go ahead and share also a love relationship with Meryl Streep, and I know that Sam did a run of Streep Tees, actually. Where was that, Sam?
It was at the Bang Comedy Theater on Fairfax in Hollywood here in L.A., and it was supposed to be one night. It was men doing a Meryl Streep monologues, and it turned out some scenes, because not a lot of movies don't have monologues in them, as we all know, or the stage play thing. But so a friend of mine organized and asked me to do it. I said, I'll do it if I can do Postcards from the Edge and play Shirley MacLaine and Meryl Streep in the staircase scene.
My favorite scene.
It twirled up. I've had that I have an entire movie memorized. I'm like, it's actually crossed my mind to do a one-man Postcards from the Edge show here in L.A. somewhere. But I said, I will do it, and then one thing led to another, and we did it for a few months, and then they continued to do it. I had to drop out because I had a lot going on, and I couldn't commit to doing a show every Saturday night. So I kind of came and went from the show, but yes, I love Meryl. I look forward to meeting her. I have two friends who both worked with her. I pumped for myriad details. I saw her at the Golden Globes. Went to the Golden Globes this earlier this year in January, and I did get to see her in the flesh. And I was going to run up to her, but she's so regal when you see her, and I didn't want to, she was already getting it from all sides, and so I just sat back and gloried in her presence. But, I love Meryl very much.
But you're also one step away from her. I mean, Jane Lynch played her sister in Julia, so, I mean, there's no reason why you can't say, hey, Jane, let's go over to Meryl's and have a little coffee.
Well, the funny thing is...
You know what's that easy, Michael?
And my best friend Lauren Graham played her, in One True Thing, but she was in that movie playing Renee Zellweger's best friend.
Yeah.
And that's another connection, and they both ran into her, and actually Jane at the Golden Globes, when I was there, I was going with Lauren, but of course Jane was there too, because she was nominated, just so name-dropping obnoxious, and just forgive me, but just, we were there in the ballroom, I could look down, and I saw Jane walking up with her new wife, introduced her to Meryl, and my friend was like, oh my God, now's your chance, you've Jane and Meryl together. I'm like, I can't do it, because I knew by the time I got over there, because it's super crowded, frankly, Precious and Mariah Carey were between us, and I'm not even making that up. I knew this was so hard to maneuver through that room because the chairs are so tight. I knew by the time I got there, it'd be too late. And, you know, so I didn't.
Yeah.
And I was
sort of,
I would have pushed your ass right up there.
You get nervous still. It's nice to know that even in a situation like that, somebody is as accomplished as you are, that you still get butterflies and you still get nervous over stuff like that.
What was less is I knew it was also Jane's moment. And, I know Jane hadn't seen her since they made the movie, and I heard all Jane's stories. I pumped her for all of them, and I knew all the stuff and how great she was. But she's also, she's not that she's distant, but, it's a respected relationship. She's not, she's this other human being, and you just don't, fawn all over people in certain situations, or you just look like an idiot. But so I also was sort of like, it's Jane's moment right now, too. I'm not going to go up and bust in on it and be like, hey, Jane, here's your friend, be that guy. So,
Well, Sam, they're going to be working their way through that room, working through those chairs to get to you when you win your Golden Globe. So you just wait and see.
Exactly.
All right. So one other thing, Sam, I want to go ahead and ask you. This is a rumor, I guess, but you know, I hear that you do this wonderful Blair Warner impression from Facts of Life. I was wondering if I could beg you for a sample. I was
Please.
A big fan of Facts of Life.
Oh, yeah, I did it in live stage version here in L.A. on and off for years, which was really fun. It's not a wonderful impression. I can't really do impressions. I just did my version of Blair. I'm trying to think of the one that I am. Because the thing about her that I kind of tried to get down was, like, she's supposed to be this waspy Connecticut wealthy heiress, but leads well. So her stuff is from, I think, West Texas or something. And so it just was this weird combination of accent. And so here's what it's like. So Cousin Jerry comes to visit them at Eastland School, and she's not going to have a date for the dance, and it's something like, "This is scary. If Cousin Jerry goes to the dance, she's going to feel like an unmet sock." That's how she would say unmet sock. Unmet sock. But it was annoying because it was just really high and nasal. Like, "Cousin Jerry, Jay." It was just, so I, you know, being on stage, I just had to kick it up a couple of notches.
That's hilarious.
Hey, listen, guys, we are literally running out of time, so Michael and I have to say goodbye to both of you, but I know you'll be back to visit us on the show anyway, and we just simply adore you and always follow you guys and what you do.
Thank you. We love you,
sexy people.
Thank you so much. Thank you both so very much for going ahead and joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. And even though I may look like a professionally crazed fan, I'm not a stalker. maybe a little bit of a stalker, but I just know a lot about you, and I love you guys very much. So thanks so much for taking the time out
You're
tonight
welcome.
To join the show.
Thank you, guys. We really appreciate
and
it.
And I love you, Sam. I'll be home soon.
All right. I'm waiting for you. Got the roast in the oven. Bye.
Love you guys.
Michael,
Yay.
Those two are so funny.
They're fun together, absolutely. I you know, Sam Pancake,
yes.
I mean, just such,
yes.
such a history in television. I know he was, I know he's gone through highs and lows and everything like that, but I really think he's going to go ahead and click. So will the whole series. And did you happen to go ahead and check out season two, the first episode?
I started watching a little bit of it yesterday, and then I had to put it on pause. And I'm the type of person, I've got to sit and watch the whole thing as opposed to keep pausing.
And I know you're busy.
I'm kind of just getting back in town, and I have all this stuff to do, so... tonight will be the night that I will basically sit there with my computer. I'll have my chips and my pretzels, and I'll sit there and I'm sure just laugh like crazy. But, you know, Michael, one other thing that I wanted to say about them is that, you know, you always kind of have this image of people that are actors and actresses and folks that are out there in Hollywood as kind of being a little obnoxious and perhaps can be somewhat stuck up. But every single guest that you have brought on the show from Pretty, you know, from executive director, from Steve on down, all of them are just really good, nice people, you know?
Yeah. Well, it gets to the point that I think that everybody just puts their pants on one leg at a time and is trying to do. I admire the fact that someone is able to put themselves on the line, follow their dream, do what they love, not buckle. Doing what you love takes huge courage and undeniable fortitude, and I think that is what needs to be applauded in everybody on every scale, what it is. I challenge everybody to go ahead and find their destiny, and this whole Pretty series was just a fluke because I've got a sick sense of humor, but quite frankly, good is good when I see it, and I think
Absolutely.
That this is good, and I really think the people are good, and you can't fake being a butthead, you know what I mean? You can't...
Yeah.
You can't do it. So I'm very pleased with everything. And I want to personally thank Steve Silverman for putting us in contact with all of the stars from Pretty Season 1 and Season 2, including the guest stars as well. I thank you so much, and I'm really happy to be beside the show.
Well, and I want to, again, thank Steve and also thank you as well. We've got about 30 seconds, so Michael and I are going to say goodnight. I'm going to head back and watch some election coverage stuff, and then cap my evening off with watching a little pre on the webisode. So Michael and I are back. I'm back tomorrow night with an interview with an author, Victoria, And then Michael and I, we're back the next day because he's got a show coming up. Is that correct, Michael?
Absolutely. Jacqueline Jacks is the new development artist for the American Vocal Academy, and she'll be joining us live from Florida. So I'm looking very excited. She's got a really good guy named Joss Page coming up, who's singing with the likes of David Foster, and also SJ Acoustic, which just went ahead and was nominated for. Are we going? Okay. Anyways, love you. Thank you, everybody, for the chat room, and I love you.
All right. We love you guys. And again, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and listening to Not On That Hour with Victoria. Thank you to Linda and Lisa inside the chat room who've been producing that, and thank you again for all the guests that are inside the chat room visiting, and as well for those of you that are at home listening to the show, or if you've got us on your mobile device, again, thank you so much. I'll be back on the air tomorrow night. So happy Election Day, and good night.